at the casino. She lost all her money. She said, don't feel sorry for me, no. Don't feel sorry, honey. But if you wanna do a lady a favor, here's what I want you to do. Just loan me $2. Oh, until the next time I see you. But these last $2. The one for the jukebox to hear me some blues. Gotta hear me some blues. She said I wouldn't be over here. My man had been treating me right. I came here to try to catch him, yeah. Cause he'd been sneaking around every night.
But I got
caught up over here, yeah. Got caught up in this scene. And I put all of my money in that doggone gambling machine.
But these legs,
$2.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 49 of the report. Yeah, man, it's been a minute. Not exactly 2 weeks, but damn near. Shit. Last time I talked to you guys, I think it was a little bit before the Labor Day weekend. So, you know, happy belated Labor Day to motherfuckers, I guess. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been quite a few things to go on since the last time I hit the mic, man. Quite a few things, and I got a few things I want to talk about. But before I get into all of that, I want to tell you guys how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report, man. Let your voice be heard. You can hit me at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Hit that Hotmail line up. Leave me a voicemail for anything that you want to say. And I'll play those voicemails here on the show. And of course, I'll respond to you here on the show. And that's it. And also, that's the only way that you can join or actually participate in the Span $100 challenges. All right. So jot that number down. All right. Another way to get in contact with me here is to hit up the email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Hit me up there. And of course, again, I'll read those emails on the show and respond to those here on the show. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. My name on both of those is the same as it is everywhere. That's Mr_Span on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can also look at this Mr. Span fan page over on Facebook. So you can go there, like the fan page, leave me any comments on the fan page, and yeah, we can chop it up, man. And of course, on PlayStation Network and on Xbox Live, it's Mr. Span 37. On Xbox Live is just Mr. Span 37, and on PlayStation Network it's Mr._Span 37. So yeah, those are all of my social networking contacts, I believe, man. And I just copped that Destiny game, and I haven't had a chance to get into it just yet. I played the beta when it was released, but I haven't had a chance to actually get into the full game, and so I can't wait to actually get my hands on that and see what's to it, man. It looks like a really fucking good game, man. But yeah, now that we got all of that out of the way, man, there's been a lot of shit going on, man. You got Islamic militants who are beheading journalists over in Iraq. You've got celebrities who are having their pictures leaked via social media and everything else. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that a little later in the show. hell, you got CeeLo Green justifying rape. You've got, you know, the NFL has completely dropped the ball on this Ray Rice situation. I'm going to definitely delve into that. Actually, that's going to be pretty much the meat of this show, me talking about the Ray Rice situation in the NFL. But yeah, man, there's quite a few things to talk about, quite a few things, but I'm going to focus on a few. I'm just going to focus on a few. I'm going to talk about CeeLo Green's trifling ass. I'm going to talk about Renisha McBride's killer, Theodore Wafer. He's got he got sentenced for her murder. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And of course, like I said, I'm going to talk about the NFL and their handling of the Ray Rice, Janae Rice domestic violence situation. Yeah, man. And shout out, you know, to my granddaddy, man. I introduced the show with my granddaddy this episode. And I think it's weird in how that song is kind of apropos to the situations that are going on right now. It's kind of weird, and it's part of a theme. So I hope you guys follow it, because you may win $100 by following it. I'm just saying. But yeah, man, let me get right into the show, man. CeeLo Green, man, of course, a lot of us have grown up on the Goody Mob, and I guess you could say some of us have grown up on Gnarls Barkley, and we watched CeeLo, you know, be a judge on The Voice, which comes on NBC and everything, man. A couple years ago, CeeLo Green was accused of slipping a chick a Mickey, pretty much, just slipping her a Mickey and you know, having his way with her, pretty much doing what Rick Ross rapped about. You ain't even know, you know. Pretty much doing that. And just recently, CeeLo pleaded guilty to the furnishing of the drugs that he slipped his lady before taking advantage of her. And it's one of those things, man, where you would have hoped that he would have gotten in touch with a publicist before he even decided to hit Twitter. Because he tried to redefine what rape is by saying because this lady was unconscious, what he did to her wasn't exactly rape because she didn't say no. And it makes laws like the law that they have in California that you have to, you know, say yes to mean yes, needed. It makes laws like that needed, unfortunately, to where, you know, you don't have guys out here slipping chicks Mickeys, taking advantage of these women. And it, like I said, I have a daughter, man. It frightens me. You know, some of the things that she may have to run into, you know, growing up in this world, man. And like, yeah, man, like CeeLo Green is he's one of those guys. Like CeeLo, like I grew up on, like, you know, the Goody Mob. Like Goody Mob was my shit. Like Still Standing, I played tracks from Still Standing right here on the show. I played tracks from Soul Food right here on this show. I fuck with the Goody Mob heavy growing up, man. Like Goody Mob, Witch Doctor, Outkast, all of them cats coming up out of the Dungeon Family, you know, all of those dudes, man. And so like CeeLo was actually one of my favorite rappers, like before CeeLo you know, went mainstream and popped with it he has now. Like I grew up, like, you know, CeeLo is a dope fucking rapper, you know. Like he was, you know, to me one of the more underrated rappers, you know, of course, because, you know, I don't necessarily know if Goody Mob was as popular as, say, you know, the Master P's and the Mysticals and stuff like that coming out of the South. But yo, CeeLo was a dope rapper. He was the dopest lyricist in the Goody Mob to me. And, you know, he went solo, you know, as some of the better, you know, artists and groups tend to do. But yeah, man, like to hear that this dude was out here drugging chicks and, you know, trying to justify his taking advantage of her by trying, you know, by going by semantics, like trying to semantically absolve himself. And like again, like he got on Twitter to do it, the exactly wrong fucking place to try to justify rape is to get your ass on Twitter and try to redefine the terms of what rape is. And it was a sad day for me. Well, not necessarily like sad, but it was just fucked up, man. Like damn, CeeLo, you too. You know, you too, man. Like, and yeah, man, it was crazy, man. But it goes into the whole thing of with social media. You know, like, social media is a wonderful thing. It has given voice to so many people who would have probably been voiceless for years. It has given us the power to bring light to a lot of situations. You think about what is going on in Ferguson and with Mike Brown. That's a social media creation. You think about what happened with Trayvon Martin and the awareness that people have about Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis. Those are social media creations. It's the fact that social media got up and made these things issues there, where you have news outlets and everything else following suit, because this is what people are talking about. So we got to figure out why these people are talking about this. So social media has given access, you know, given folks that kind of access, but it also has given you know, a lot of celebrities direct access to their fans. And so because you have this relationship, you know, with the fans and with the social media aspect, you kind of cut out the middleman, which is the publicist and the media, when fans get to interact with you. And so that right there, though, is where you run into some problems, you know, because, you know, sometimes what we think, you know, sometimes we'll put things on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, might not necessarily need to be said. It might not necessarily need to go out into the world. And we are so conditioned now to where our every thought, some folks, our every thought goes into social media. Everything that pops into our head, or everything we think is clever, everything that we think is funny, tends to find itself on social media. And so, you know, you have some, you know, you have instances where you'll say some shit you might not necessarily have needed to say, especially in public. And folks, especially celebrities, find themselves doing it all the time. CeeLo find himself doing that, saying some shit that he probably should not, well, he definitely should not have been saying on social media. And again, like I said, is that double-edged sword, man. Like, you know, it'll give a fan the impression of this person, or this person whom I idolize, this person whom I look up to, that they're personable, they're touchable, I could talk to them. You know, there's that direct connection between me and the person who I look up to and whom I idolize and whom I stress to express to want to be like and everything else. There's that aspect. But then at the same time, like, there are so many celebrities now that because of social media and because I have access to them and because I get to see some of the shit that they say in the daily life and because I see how they think on certain things, has totally fucked up my perception of who these people are. And like, it also colors the way I look at their art. It colors the way that I perceive them as artists, because of, you know, the access that I have to them and their unfiltered thoughts. You know, like, there's something to be said about the air of secrecy, or, you know, just kind of being above things. You know, there's a benefit to that, you know, so to speak. I don't necessarily need to know all of your political leanings, or I don't necessarily need to know your thoughts on the Middle East. You know, I don't necessarily need to know all of these things, especially coming from folks whom I don't, you know, that's not what I'm looking for from you. You know, and of course, you know, it's the freedom of speech, is, you know, freedom of expression. I'm not denying anybody that. It's just one of those things where, like, yo, you, with the fact that these are unfiltered thoughts, and these, some of these things aren't coming through a publicist, they aren't coming through the mainstream media, they aren't being, I guess, sanitized for public consumption, that, yeah, it can color the way folks think about you. And so with CeeLo Green, yeah, it's colored the way I think about this dude now. Like, I can't necessarily, you know, listen to a song that CeeLo has said, and like, I can almost, like, it kind of makes me second guess some of this shit. You know, like, how sincere was he when he said this? Or, you know, was this just some shit to say that because it was clever, or was it because he really believed in it? You know, that type of thing. And yeah, it's one of those things, man, where, you know, social media, it can bring light to a whole lot of situations. It can make you aware of a whole lot of things. You follow the right people, but at the same time, if you follow some of the people that you idolize, you'll start figuring out that some of these people, like, really ain't shit. You know, some of these people really ain't shit. Like, and it's sad, man. Like, you know, it kind of takes people down a peg. Like, and that's another thing too. There's that realization that a lot of these folks got issues just like you. A lot of these people are just as petty as some of you. A lot of these people have, you know, their quirks. A lot of these people, just, they're people. You know, we can't necessarily look at these folks as idols. We can't necessarily look at these folks as gods, and we can't necessarily, put these folks on a pedestal so high to where, they're better than someone else because of some of the things they've accomplished. And social media is teaching us that, and we found that out about CeeLo Green's justification for raping a woman. You know, that's one of those things like, fuck you, dude. Fuck you. There's no way. There's no way, man. But yeah, man. Fuck CeeLo Green. I can't. It's like almost like with R. Kelly, man. I can't listen to R. Kelly. You know, after finding out and just finding out what I know about R. Kelly, man. Like, I can't fucking listen to him, and I hate being in a room where people are listening to him. I just can't do it. So yeah, it's one of those things, man. Yeah. And it fucking sucks. Yeah, so. But yeah. Other than that, Theodore Wafer. I'm gonna switch topics here. Theodore Wafer was sentenced for the murder of Renisha McBride. I forget exactly all of the charges that he was found guilty on, but of course he was found guilty and he got his sentence. And he got 15 to 20 years. I mean, no, I'm sorry, 15 to 30 years. And, I think someone said, like, because his sentences are running consecutively or concurrently. I believe they're running concurrently because he also had an illegal weapons charge or something like that. So there's another 2 years added onto that. So it turns out that, like, he's not eligible for parole until he's done 17 years. And, some folks, they don't necessarily believe that Theodore Wafer got everything that he should have gotten. Some people think that Theodore Wafer should have gotten a death penalty. Some people think that Theodore Wafer should have gotten life. I'm one of those folks that, considering what he was convicted of, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they were going by the sentencing guidelines of the charges that he was convicted of. And some folks are talking about, man, he'll only do 17 years. Renisha McBride will never see another light, will never see the light of day. And yes, that's true. But 17 years in prison isn't exactly like the easiest fucking thing in the world, I guess. And I don't want to sound like I'm being sympathetic to Theodore Wafer, not at all. I think what he did was negligent. I think what he did was, of course, I think he would, what his reaction to Renisha McBride was a bit egregious. Considering the facts of the case and how it came out, but I don't think Theodore Wafer premeditated to kill Renisha McBride. I don't think he went out with the thought of I'm gonna kill this bitch on my porch. I don't think he did any of that. I think he was negligent and he, trying to cover his ass, got caught lying, and that resulted in him being convicted and receiving the sentencing that he got. 15 years, he's eligible for parole in 17 years, man. Like, 17 years is a long time, and that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get out in 17 years. They have these flex scheduling, these flex sentencing laws here in Michigan, man, where like you can do anywhere in between that. Like, just on a personal note, my brother is locked up right now on a charge where he could have gotten out in two. He got 2 to 20. My brother's been in jail 9 years for the charge that he was convicted of. So there's no guarantee that once you hit, the minimum where you're eligible for parole or eligible for probation or whatever, that you're going to get out at that particular moment in time. Theodore Wafer could very well do every 30 years that's included on his sentence. He could very well do that. So do I think it's enough? I don't think I'm the person to say. The family of Renisha McBride seem to be happy with the fact that there was a conviction. They seem to be happy with the fact that he will pay for what he did to Renisha McBride. There's no way you can bring Renisha McBride back. Executing Theodore Wafer will not bring Renisha McBride back. Do I think justice has been served? If the family thinks the loss of Renisha McBride has been vindicated because of the charge that he has, then yeah, justice has been served. I mean, again, dude was negligent. Dude was untruthful. He told a couple stories. He told a couple stories about as to why he shot Renisha McBride, and they caught him, and yeah, they locked his ass up, man. And I mean, you know, here's another thing too. Like, we can be upset about a lot of things. We can be upset. Can we sometimes celebrate some of the victories? You know, can we sometimes celebrate some of the victories? Theodore Wafer being convicted. Theodore Wafer being sentenced to 15 to 30 years for that. And yeah, you know, that might not necessarily be a popular view, but I feel like, you know, he got pretty much what was coming to him because of what he did, man. But you know what? I'm gonna take a real quick musical break. But when I get back, I'm going to get into the meat and potatoes of this show. I'm going to talk about Ray Rice. I'm going to talk about Jhené Rice. And I'm going to talk about Roger Goodell. I'm going to talk about the NFL and their handling of this Ray Rice domestic violence video coming out. So stick around.
For about 6 months or so, it's been real hard to talk to one another. You know, a relationship ain't nothing without communication. How we were lying in the bed, the both of us looking at the ceiling overhead, eyes wide open about 3 a.m. I said, baby, we can't go on this way. She said, you're right. I said, I know you love me, and I love you too. Then we start holding each other, and I felt a tear roll down my face.
Last night, me and my woman, we cried together.
Woman, we cried together. You know we start hugging each other, and the tears would run down my face, and there was love all over the place, yeah. Said we
cry together.
There ain't nothing wrong with me.
Cry together.
There ain't nothing wrong with you.
Cry together.
We're not the only people in the world who go through ups and downs and changes and turnarounds. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And I'm back. That was Prophet Jones with Cry Together off of their Prophet Jones album. I think that joint came out like 2001. And that was a remake of an old OJ's track, man. I actually like their version better of it. I like the OJ's, but I like their version better of that song, man. And them dudes came out like around the tail end of when like male R&B groups was like still popular. Like they came out at the tail end of that shit. Like, it's like at the end of the run for 112, end of the run for like Jagged Edge, end of the run for Silk and all them cats, man. End of the run for like Mint Condition, all of those dudes, man. So yeah, check that album out if and when you get a chance, if you want to. But yeah, man, like I play that song, you know, like a lot, like what I'm playing, like a lot of the songs that I'm playing right now, I kind of feel like they relate a bit to the situation that I'm going to speak on tonight. And that's with Jhené Rice and Ray Rice, formerly of the Baltimore Ravens, man. And I want to talk about the situation tonight, man, simply because, well, of course, it's because it's in the forefront of a lot of people's attention right at this moment. And there's so much fuck shit going on with this situation, man. I just felt like I needed to say something to it. You know, we've had a lot of discussions about the situation concerning Ray Rice and Jhené Rice. I mean, it's resulted in Stephen A. Smith getting his ass on ESPN and saying some foul shit and receiving a suspension. It's had The View, women arguing over The View about it. It's been the talk of Twitter. It's been the talk of Facebook. Fox News even asked what the president's opinion of it was. Like, Barack Obama has to speak to this, you know, like, has nothing to do with anything President Obama has going on. But, you know, of course, you know, Fox News is just doing what Fox News does. But, you know, here's the thing, man. And I don't want to ramble, but I'll say this. Okay. Like here's as we know it right now, TMZ released the video. Excuse me. TMZ released a video of Ray Rice punching Jhené Rice in the elevator twice, knocking her out. All right. Now, I can remember before this video of him actually punching her came out, there was a lot of people on social media. There was a lot of people in media. There was a lot of people actually, you know, who had like, you know, connections to this case, talking about, you know, what was her role in the incident, you know, pretty much. And that's what got Stephen A. Smith in trouble when he got to talking about the provocation and elements of provocation and everything else about, you know, what her role could have possibly been to warrant her being knocked out in that elevator. All right. We've had a lot of people get in trouble for saying stupid shit concerning this case. But, you know, as we know how it played out, the NFL, you know, they said they did an investigation and they were the only ones to mete out any discipline for Ray Rice. You know, the New Jersey prosecutors didn't, you know, have any charges. They put him in anger management. He was a first time offender. You know, he's getting a 2-game suspension and they were cool with that. They were cool with that until the video came out, and then they were no longer cool with that. And my thing with this is, if you think the NFL didn't see that video before that video was released to the public, I got a can of Magic Beans to sell you. I got a whole fucking truckload of it. And I'll sell them all to you if you believe that the NFL didn't know what happened in that elevator. All right. Now, you got the commissioner, Roger Goodell, saying that, you know, we tried, you know, we requested that we have access to that video. We were rebuffed, or we never really had access to it. We went off with the information that we had. You know, we spoke to Janae Rice, we spoke to Ray Rice, and we went forward with our discipline without that information. And what doesn't make sense with that with me is, you know, we've heard stories all like for years about how thorough the NFL security department is when it comes to vetting players that they're, you know, thinking of drafting, you know, vetting coaches and everything else. I can remember a story a couple of years ago when Dez Bryant, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, was about to get drafted. And there were questions about whether or not his mother was a prostitute. And they asked him about this in a meeting. A team that was thinking about drafting Dez Bryant asked him about whether or not his mother used to be a prostitute years ago. And that was because of some of the investigations that the NFL security department, they had information about some of, you know, his past, or maybe even his mother's past, that maybe she might have been a prostitute. Now, what that has to do with him being able to catch a fucking football, I don't know. It has absolutely nothing to do with his ability to catch a football, but they sure as hell asked him whether or not his mother was a prostitute in an interview while they were thinking about drafting him. And they got that information where? The NFL security department. The NFL security department is chock full of former FBI agents, police officers, private detectives, like all of these investigative folks, like some of the top-notch investigative people in the country, pretty much. I mean, you think about this. The NFL is a billion-dollar enterprise. They make billions of dollars. Their TV contracts go for the billions. They're I think the Dallas Cowboys are worth $3.5 billion, one team. They play in a $1 billion stadium, state-of-the-art stadium. So the NFL is making money hand over fist, and they can afford top-notch investigators. You mean to tell me that the NFL couldn't have gotten access to that tape? Are you gonna really sit here and believe that they didn't have access to that tape? And of course, you know, a lot of folks are making the point that the NFL, they had to release Ray Rice, and they had to do this because you saw the tape. And I'm one of those people who also would say, yeah, they did it because you saw the tape. But what I'm thinking, my thing is this: why would they not do, you know, not have a stronger stance on this before? Okay, why not have a stronger stance on this before this video went public, before you actually saw the video? Why did it take you seeing the video to determine that his actions in that elevator warranted the punishment that he's getting now? Why did it take you actually seeing that? I mean, you knew that he punched her in the elevator. You knew he knocked her out in that elevator. Why wasn't that enough? Okay, and then on top of that, you know, we've heard stories about, you know, when the story was, you know, breaking and it was still a fluid thing. And, you know, before it kind of died down, you know, Ray Rice is actually getting prepared to play, not this week, but the week after. He was damn near about to get reinstated when this video came out. OK, so when this video, before this video came out and people were kind of up in arms about the 2-game suspension, you know, it wasn't enough. Everybody said that. Everybody was like, damn, that's all he gets is 2 games. That's it. You know, you get more games out for like smoking a joint or popping a molly. You get more games for that than for knocking out your wife. So a lot of folks were upset. A lot of folks were confused. A lot of folks were, you know, pretty much up in arms about, you know, the leniency in which the NFL expressed in this particular instance. All right. And part of it was because some folks thought that, hey, maybe Janae Rice did do something in that elevator that warranted her getting hit. Maybe she did do something. Maybe the NFL knows that she did something, and that's why they're being lenient and they're only giving him 2 games. Maybe they know. And then, of course, you know, a lot of folks were saying, well, yeah, you know, the NFL has access to a whole lot more information than we do. Maybe they know something that we don't, and that's why he only got the 2 games. And then on top of that, they had Jhené Rice interviewing with her husband, or her then fiance at the time, interviewing with Ray Rice with the NFL, with the Baltimore Ravens, to tell, you know, the instance, you know, what happened in the elevator. And of course, we all aren't privy to what they told, but apparently what they said was accurate with what happened in the video. And, you know, Jhené Rice was pleading that they don't take away his career, that they don't, suspend him, or, you know, like pretty much asking for leniency for Ray Rice. Now, we could talk about, you know, battered women, you know, like the issues that battered, you know, women have with identifying with their abusers. I think they call it Stockholm syndrome. Thanks, Clove. Stockholm syndrome, where she's, you know, she's identifying with her abuser. She's protective of her abuser. And a lot of folks are talking about, you know, whether or not that couldn't have been the first time that happened. I don't know. And we need to stop doing that. You know, we don't know. They did the same thing with Solange and Jay-Z. That had to happen all the time. Like, this isn't new. This isn't, you see his reaction and everything. We don't know how many times that happened. That could have been the very first time that it happened. It was just fucked up. Plain and simple. Like, it was a fucked up instance. It was a fucked up situation. Doesn't necessarily mean that shit happens all of the time. We don't know that. And we need to stop trying to project that type of shit. But, yeah, man. So, like, you know, Jhené Rice is pleading his case, and, you know, they got Jhené Rice sitting at a podium with him at a news conference apologizing for what he did to her. This woman has been under, like, immense scrutiny, immense pressure, I believe, on not only, like, the public, like, in just, like, publicly, but, like, hell, privately too. You know, like, this man's livelihood, which she depends upon, is in the balance because of what happened in that elevator. You know, so, like, and for her, like, she even, you know, she's come out on Instagram and she's talked about, you know, this not being anybody's business, and they're working on their relationship and everything else. And folks are going into that whole thing about, you know, battered wife, and, you know, she, you know, like we talked about, I think Tina Turner went through a lot of that with Ike Turner. And, like, this isn't an uncommon thing for the abused to take up for the abuser. It's not an uncommon thing. And I'm not qualified to really speak on, you know, the psychology of that. I'm not. So I'm not going to even try to pretend to be. I'm not going to even waste your time trying to pretend that I know all the nuances with that, because I don't. And so I'm not going to speak on that. But when it comes to the NFL having this lady and the Baltimore Ravens, when it comes to them having this woman up there apologizing for what happened to her and giving him only a 2-game suspension, I think what the NFL really thought was, okay, because she's, you know, taking up for him, and because this situation is something that we're not necessarily, I guess, used to dealing with on this level, you know, maybe this shit'll go away. You know, like, they gave him the 2-game suspension. You know, they trumpeted the fact that they were the only person that gave him discipline throughout the whole thing. You know, even the New Jersey prosecutor only gave him, like, anger management or some shit like that. He was a first-time offender. He was a great guy. Did a lot of things in the Baltimore community. All of these things, man. Everybody kept talking about this shit. How great a guy that Ray Rice was. The city of Baltimore, a lot of Baltimore fans, when it came to training camp, was applauding him, standing ovation for Ray Rice for whooping on his wife. Standing ovation. And now this video comes out and everybody is like, oh my God, oh my God. I can't believe this is what he did. Like, he didn't have to do her like that. He didn't have to punch her like that. Like, no. So now the Baltimore Ravens are saying they never saw this video. The NFL is claiming they never saw this video. Baltimore Ravens terminate his contract. NFL suspends him indefinitely. And of course, it's all public relations when it comes to them, because I have no fucking belief in the world in them to say that they didn't see that tape or that they didn't know anything about it. And even if they didn't, why did it take everyone seeing that for the NFL to act the way that they did, you know, just a couple days ago? Why did it take that? You knew what happened in the elevator. You knew. They told you what happened in the elevator. So, you know, like, to me, it's the duplicity of it. It's the duplicity of the Baltimore Ravens. It's the duplicity of the NFL. And I think in some small sort of way, they, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are kind of getting off in their role, because, like I said, they had this woman up there, you know, they paraded this woman around. They had this woman giving a press conference apologizing to her being abused. And when it becomes public of what really happened to her in the elevator, not only is she victimized by what happened to her in the elevator, now, you know, the income that was allotted to be theirs is being taken away because the Ravens didn't do what they should have done in the beginning. They didn't do what they should have done in the beginning. Now, and I've said this on Facebook, and I don't know, you know, like, I don't know, I've kind of softened this stance a little bit. But I said on Facebook, like, I thought the Ravens were, I think what they did was some fuck shit. And I still believe that what they did was some fuck shit. It was crazy as all hell. But I thought that the Ravens should have still been obligated to pay Ray Rice. I did. I think they should have been obligated to pay Ray Rice because they were, like, pretty much washing their hands of it, because you and I saw the video. They knew what the hell happened all day long. I feel like because Jhené Rice was the abused in that situation, they might not necessarily have had to pay Ray Rice that money. But certainly Jhené Rice should have some access to that, because of what happened to her. And, you know, I don't consider Ray Rice a victim in this. I mean, Ray Rice did what he did. There's no bones about it. Ray Rice did what he did. The NFL suspending him indefinitely probably should have happened when this shit happened and it became public knowledge. It shouldn't have taken us, everybody, seeing this video in order for them to act more strongly on it. You know, it's this visceral response to the sight of it. Everybody's like, yeah, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. Like, yeah. It's much different when you see it. Yeah, but you knew already. You knew already. So, yeah, man. And these straw man arguments, man. I see a lot of guys, man. And I'm finding out, and it's fucked up, but I'm finding out a lot of dudes I know, a lot of dudes I got love for, a lot of guys I would call my brothers, got issues with women, dude. Like, got some serious fucking issues with women. And they find themselves rationalizing shit. Rationalizing. I mean, like, all of these guys that were talking about the provocation, you know, elements of provocation that were patting Stephen A. Smith on the back, like, what was wrong with what he said and everything else. Like, women do this shit all the time. What about Solange? Like, when Solange was going through, was doing that shit to Jay-Z, women was laughing. Everybody was laughing. Everybody thought it was funny. Shit. When Chris Brown beat up Rihanna, niggas was mad. But then now you got all these chicks talking about some Chris Brown as they man crush money. Like, niggas was, like, really upset. Excuse me. Niggas is upset because Ray Rice is being punished because of what he did. And I'm seeing a lot of people like trying to justify wrong shit, and it makes me think about what I talked about when I was talking about Mike Brown and everything else. When I talked about Mike Brown and, you know, certain elements of the media, mainly Fox News and conservative radio and things like that. And a lot of folks on, you know, the, you know, let's just be honest here. A lot of white folks were trying to justify what happened to Mike Brown by bringing up, you know, black on black crime, by bringing up the fact that Mike Brown stole some cigars or whatever, deflecting from the very issue that we're talking about. Nobody's talking about fucking Chris Brown and Rihanna. Who gives a fuck about Man Crush Monday when we're talking about domestic violence? What happened in the elevator with Solange and Jay-Z was equally wrong. Nobody should be justifying that. Nobody. But it saddens me that, like, so many dudes And unfortunately, like, I'm hearing a lot of women, like, just sitting around talking about some, well, you know, if you hit a man, yada, 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 you know, yeah, keep your fucking hands to yourself. It's not a hard concept. Shouldn't be. I think some of us got taught this shit in kindergarten. Like, keep your hands to yourself. That type of shit. Like, why can't we, you know, why aren't we trumpeting that? Why are we trying to find reasons to knock a motherfucker out? And that's what I see. Like, a lot of people are like trying to find reasons, trying to justify wrong actions, like trying hard, like going through the motions, like, yo, man, but what if this happened? And what if, but that's not what happened. And like, seeing the video now, he's like, yo, that's not what happened in there. That's not what happened in there. Dude, not hit her twice, knocked her the fuck out. There was nothing in there. There was nothing that happened in that video. There was nothing that happened in that elevator that warranted him socking her twice. Dude's left-handed. He gave her two fucking hooks. Left hooks to the jaw. Nothing justifies that shit. Nothing. So, like, all these false equivalency arguments, man. These straw man arguments, man. Y'all need to stop that shit, man. Stop that shit. There's nothing in the world that justifies what happened to that woman in that elevator. And we need to stop making excuses for that type of shit. Stop talking about, like, you know, like, and like I said, man, it's people I know, like people you think you know. You know what I'm saying? You start seeing them in a different light. Like, damn, man, this is really how you roll. Like, this is how you get down. I never really thought about this until this issue. Like, I never would have saw you this way until this issue because of how you present these arguments. Like, this is how you think. You think this is okay. So, yeah, man. You might some of us really don't like women. You know, some of us really don't. And it's an unfortunate reality. You know, it's an unfortunate reality to where, you know, we try to find justifications for things like that, man. Yeah. But like I said, getting back to the crux of the matter, the NFL had to know what happened in that elevator. They spoke to the people who were the principals in that incident in that elevator. Those people in the elevator told the NFL what happened in the elevator. It shouldn't have taken us seeing this video for the NFL to do what they should have done in the very beginning, which was to suspend Ray Rice. Now, I mean, they've effectively ended his career now, but it was only because they got caught. That's what's fucked up. It's like they didn't do the right thing just because it was the right thing to do. They did it because they had to. They did it because they got caught. They did it because they got caught covering up some shit. And the cover up is always worse than a lie. I mean, if you do the crime or whatever, like if you just go ahead and admit it and everything else is fine. But when you start trying to cover, the cover up is always worse, man. Learn that shit when you were a kid, man. I tell my daughter right now to this day, like a lot of times, like if she do something fucked up, she won't necessarily get in trouble or as much trouble. And she just tell me the truth about it. Lying to me is what's going to make it worse. So, yeah, man. Yeah, a lot of us have some issues with women, man. And like I said, Janae Rice came on, you know, she came out, she made a statement on Instagram about, you know, it being her life. And, you know, people making them feel alone, and they're working on their issues and everything, man. I pray for them. I do. I hope that dude is getting some help. I really worry about her, you know, and her well-being. At the end of the day, man, though, like, it's crazy. Again, it's crazy to me that not only, like, she's the one doing all, like, the speaking. Like, it's her that's doing all the speaking. Ray Rice hasn't said a whole hell of a lot to account for his actions in that. But he doesn't owe me an explanation. I mean, you know, he owes her the explanation, you know. But, yeah, man. It's a lot of us, man, that just seem to have issues with women, and it's a sad thing. It's a sad reality, and it's a lot of people that just really got fucked up perspectives when it comes to common sense. Keep your hands to yourself. A lot of these issues can be alleviated if we all operated under that basic premise to just keep our hands to ourselves, man. Oh boy, yeah, I'm done talking about that shit. I'm done talking about that. What I'm gonna do right now, I'm not gonna take a break, but what I am gonna do is I'm gonna hit this email up. I got an email over the course of the last week and a half, and it's from the homie Reggie. Reggie hit me up again, and let's see. Reggie says, "What's happening, my dude? I'm just hitting you up to say, great show as always." Excuse me. And at 2.5 hours, that episode got me through a really boring shift here at the plant. So thanks for that. But really quickly, I just wanted to know what you thought about the beef going on between Tariq Nasheed and Tommy Sotomayor. Thanks again for a great show. Honestly, Reggie, I ain't been paying attention to that shit. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen, you know, a lot of shit blow up on Twitter. I've seen, you know, some of the stuff on my Facebook feed, you know, my timeline on Facebook, man, folks talking about it, Tommy Sotomayor making, you know, quite a few videos about Tariq Nasheed and Tariq Nasheed making a couple of videos. I've seen it. I'm not really, really paying that much attention to the shit. It's none of my fucking business, man. I mean, at the end of the day, like, there's two dudes having a dispute. Let them have a dispute. I'm not going to get caught up into the whole rah-rah. Like, I've seen guys, like, kind of taking sides and cheerleading and shit like that, man. And it's interesting to see, man. Like, and I said this. It's interesting to see, like, a lot of dudes sitting up, you know, like, bemoaning women and downing women for gossiping and shit like that. And they do the same thing when it came to, you know, when it's regarding this Tommy Sotomayor, Tariq Nasheed shit. Like, dudes, like, taking sides and all this other, man. I've listened to both of them. I find some of what they say entertaining. I'm not really big fans of either. But you know, it is what it is, man. I ain't been paying attention. I really honestly, brother, I don't care. I really don't. I just simply don't care, man. But thanks again, Reggie. Thanks again, brother, for hitting me up and letting your voice be heard here at the Spam Report. I appreciate it, and I hope to hear from you again soon, brother. But yeah, that was it. That was all the feedback I got from the last show. If you want to hit me up, I almost got out of here. I almost did it. I almost got out of here without hitting y'all up with a $100 Spam channel. This is a $100 episode. This is a $100 episode. All right. Here's what I need y'all to do. The last song that I play on this episode isn't the first time that I play this song. Okay? So what I need you to do, be the first person, the very first person to hit me up on the hotline, area code 313-288-0485, and tell me what episode I played this very last song. The very last song of this episode has been played on a previous episode. Go back to the archives. Tell me which episode that this song was played, and you can win $100. Be the first person to call the hotline, area code 313-288-0485. Be the very first person to call me with the correct answer, and you win $100. All right? But yeah, I'm about to get out of here. All right. So outside of the hotline, you can hit me up at the email at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Hit me up there. Leave your emails. Leave me your thoughts. I'll read those here on the show. And of course, I'll respond to you here on the show. You can also follow me on Instagram and on Twitter. It's Mr_Span on PlayStation Network. Mr_Span37 on Xbox Live. Mr. Span 37. You can hit me up at the Mr. Span fan page on Facebook. Hit the Mr. Span fan page up. Like me there on Facebook. And of course, for everything Span Report related, you can go to thespanreport.com. All of the episodes, all of the Span TV videos, all of the other shows that I've been on, you know, all of the guest spots that I've been on other podcasts, you can go to thespanreport.com, check those episodes out also. But yeah, I gotta get out of here, man. So until next time, fam, peace.
Just wanna be loved all night long. Yeah.